For those of you who are with us and those who perhaps have not been to Sanctuary First before, can I let you know a little bit about this service? This service is an interactive service in which you're invited to take part in. It's also a service which we hope people at home will find ways to engage you through the instant messenger that's on the internet, so as you can be part of what's going on in the service this evening. You should know there is another web page that ties in with this if you're looking in on the internet, and it's called sanctuaryfirst.org.uk, and that's also for those of you who are here tonight, that you can also look at sanctuaryfirst.org.uk when you go home, and you'll be able to pick up on the prayers and the Bible readings that will be the theme of this service and will be the theme for the next month through Sanctuary First. This week, Jock Steen has been writing the prayers for Sanctuary First, and I always find Jock's prayers really stimulating and encouraging. So that's the theme of the service, which is going to be rolled out over the next month. And so as you join us this evening, then you're encouraged to journey with us in the next month and go to Sanctuary First and be part of that and get the downloads on a daily basis, so you can download your prayers or you can sign. If you've not been to the Sanctuary First webpage, please go and sign up and be part of it. In this service tonight, we are going to explore the idea that God is often encountered in the areas where people normally would refuse to be by choice. The hard areas, the place of pain, the place of struggle, the place of indifference. And we are going to suggest that it is often when people are afraid to go forward, where people feel they've hit a brick wall, where people feel they are at their wit's end. And it's when they've reached their very limits, God in some amazing way draws close and people begin to encounter the living God. This month in Sanctuary First, we're going to be talking about the whole idea of borderlines and borderlands. And the thing is, we all need a bridge between one point and another. From one borderland to another borderland, we often need a bridge because sometimes there's no man's land, or like a river separating one side from the other side. Borderlines are interesting places, but very risky places. I don't know if you can remember the teacher at school maybe looking at your exam results and saying, like she often would say to me, "Bogle, you're a borderline case. You could go one way or you could go the other." And perhaps even a doctor looking at some medical report that comes in and says, "Well, you know, you're on the borderline. You could go one way or the other." It's such a risky idea, the borderline. And borderlands are the same. Often in the borderland, it's a dangerous place to be, because throughout the world, there are people who are living in borderlands, whether they're living in the borderland between Palestine and Israel, or whether they're living in a borderland between Iraq and Iran, or some difficult area in life. There are borders. And often that's the place where there is tension and struggle. But you know, also within our own lives, there are borderlands and borderlines that we know we can't cross over, or we should cross over, and it causes us great anxiety. So this month in Sanctuary First, we're going to be looking at this whole idea, and we're going to, first of all, start thinking about the Jesus Christ who went to the borderlands, who went to the extremities. And Jesus could often be found in the difficult places, in the places where it was risky, where he connected with people, where people were going through suffering and sadness. That's where you found Jesus, often amongst the sick and the poor, reaching out to be a bridge, to bring healing, to bring hope into their lives. Or perhaps even Jesus, who was on the borderland of anger sometimes, where he was so angry at injustice that he would speak out about it, and he would call those people who were supposed to be standing up for justice, "Woe to you, because you're a hypocrite." Or the Jesus who was angry in the temple, where he saw something that was holy and good being made into something that was profane and something that was becoming unholy. So we're going to be looking at these areas of the areas of suffering, the areas of anger, and the areas where Jesus would go and travel into the difficult areas, the areas of darkness and light, the areas of life and death. Jesus was not even afraid to face death. But he faces a cross and he says to his disciples, "Look, destroy this body, and within 3 days again I will rise." And so there is something amazing about this whole story of Jesus, the God, the Jesus man, the God man, who journeys with us to the borderlines, to the difficult places, in order that we might find life. And of course, that is the final thing. He takes us to the borderland of eternity. And he says, there is something within us all that knows there is eternity, but we can't grasp it because we live in time. And yet he is the bridge that bridges us from time into eternity and takes us into a new understanding of what our lives are all about. So we'd ask you to journey with us this month. Once again, we're always on journeys in Sanctuary First. To journey with us this week, this month, and explore some of these things.
Can we explore that idea by singing the song which we all know, or people, I'm sure not many of you will know, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Let's stand and sing. Please be seated. There is something very spiritual about the desert place. And sometimes physically it's good for us just to go to the solitary, the place of solitude, where there's no noise, where there's just ourselves and our pain and the thing we're struggling with, and there to encounter resolution, encounter peace, encounter the God who helps us to touch the horizon and see something new. Let's take a moment to reflect on this particular point, and there's a video to help us do that. What I'd like us to do now is to go into great groups of, say, four, if that possible. And what I want you to do in these little groups of four is to just talk about, and you've not got a long time, you've got about 2 minutes to do this, so you've got to come back, so it's not long there. I want you to think about, where are the dark places, the borderlines, the challenging places in our family lives, amongst our friends? You don't need to talk about yourself, because it's quite hard to ask people to talk about yourself. So I'm asking you to talk in general. It might include yourself, but it's about trying to think about the areas, the kind of hard issues that friends are facing today, that family are facing, that neighbours may well be facing. What are these areas? Where is the borderline between it becoming a real issue and just, I can cope with it? Do you understand? Let's just talk about that just for... I'm interested, because what I want you to do is, we want to then start writing some of these border lines, border areas, on our big piece of paper here at the front. So I'll get a... Malcolm maybe can be the scribe when we've done all that. We can write down, because he knows the kind of map that we're looking for this. Okay? So you know what you're doing? Intergroup, just turn around, you know, fours, and just talk about some of these issues. You've got 2 minutes. And at home, if you're looking in on the internet, why don't you just get yourself out a sheet of A4, sheet of paper, and just start drawing a kind of map of areas where you think where the challenges are for families today. And it'd be interesting to get some of them, and also to send them through to us, so as we can get your comments registered as well in our discussion this evening. Okay. That's great. I mean, just stay where you are just now. Malcolm, could you want to be the designer? And What are the kind of areas you've been talking about, things you've been talking about in, you know, a one-liner kind of thing? Hey, this group, what were you thinking about? Give us one.
Relationships.
Okay. What? Right, okay. Right, we need a microphone. Okay, we'll get... I'll bring this back up to you again. Right, this group here.
Yes, we identified a borderline which was about disillusionment with the church and people who've been Christian moving away from the church because of disillusionment. We thought that was a borderline.
Absolutely, and that's what it's actually first all about too, to be a kind of church that where people can feel they can be engaging, re-engaging again and understood, you know, absolutely. What about this group here?
The one we thought about was actually Facebook. It can cause a lot of trouble between friends when they miscall one that their friends are outside, but whenever they got on the Facebook, they can miscall one another.
So it's like relationships as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you have something else?
Society's loneliness, and we're saying like at the front, your front door, you've got society out there, and then people go home and they put down the barrier of their door, and they're... People don't realise, society doesn't realise that they're on their own and their need for friends that they don't have. Yeah.
Okay, we're on this group here. What were you coming up with, any? Penny?
One thing we had was about teenagers in your family, that you've got to kind of keep the reins on while keeping good relationships for the future.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Illness? Serious illness. Upsetting plans.
And the pressures on families and friends of redundancy, job loss, financial insecurity. It's a big thing just now.
Big thing, isn't it? Okay, that's great. This group here, what have you come up with?
I think everybody has covered most of what we discussed, but we also touched on the balance between work and family life and how sometimes because of our fear of redundancy or because of our own work aspirations and ambitions coupled with fear of redundancy, we end up working odd hours and we forego the importance of having meaningful quality relationships and meaningful time with our family. So this balance of ambition with family life and the pressures that our working environment place upon our family life.
Did you want to add anything, David?
We're talking a bit about, it's already been discussed about health and about the balance between somebody who's not, the balance of where that person is independent or when they start to need to get help in from outside, and then the stress that causes to the family, because, again, it's going back to the sort of balance between work and family. If we've got time to look after the family through the uncertainty of employment and debt that's coming into the family.
Okay. Great. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask if we can put the music back on again, a wee bit of music back on again that we had for the meditation to take us back into that area again. And when you have a moment, when you feel right, what we'd like you to do is to just pick up a stone and place it in an area that you're particularly interested in. Perhaps there's someone you're thinking about, something that's burdening you, your area of, you know, your borderline tonight. It might be different tomorrow, it might be different in half an hour. I'm not saying it's got to be there, but just at some point you just want to just put your stone there and just do it. Just take time to do it. You're not pressurized to do it. If you don't wish to do it, you don't need to. But just take a moment and as the music plays again, just to reflect on these hard places and that where people are at, and engage and maybe identify with some people in quietly in your prayer together. Thank you. Borderline cases, old family grievances, never quite cleared up, not forgotten, but no apparent way to really clear it up. Jackie says neighbours having to downsize in property because of financial strains. Monica says, yep, I agree. And people going through marriage breakup. And Helmut says, yeah. And Jackie says, young people dealing with their sexuality. And Albert says, people struggling with depression and loneliness. And Monica says, people who live with domestic abuse but can't speak out for fear of the consequences. And Helmut says, in Germany, needing social benefits, but everybody thinking you're having a good time. And Jackie, people who live with spouses who drink too much, pressures at work to produce profits for big companies, and people with children out of control. Our neighbours, our friends, ourselves. We come to church to bring reality and not be afraid to face reality and talk about reality, because we believe in a God who wants us to face up to these issues. Let me sing a song which came out of this congregation, written by one of our members, Lord of the Brokenhearted. Let's just stand and sing. If you don't know it, you'll learn it as we go along. Seated. Sometimes we have to journey to the very painful place in order that we might see change happen. And that can be such painful experience, to just go there and stand with people who are going through difficult times and not to run away. So come with me to the borderlines or the borderlands of fear and mistrust, where walls are built high to keep some in and others out. Could God be there? Could God be found around the walls of shame that have been built all around our world? There are over 10 or 15 walls of shame in all kinds of countries around the world today, and many more that are not known of. I want you to go back into your little groups again and do this exercise. Ask yourself questions like, how do you feel when you see walls dividing communities? How about the unseen walls we build up between each other? Walls around class, colour, religion, educational abilities. How do these walls make us feel? What are we doing to stop these kinds of walls being built to higher? And how can we take these walls down? These are huge questions you're not going to answer all tonight. But what I'm wanting you to do is to really not just see it as a wee exercise, you know, that we've put together a service that we can just talk about these things, but think, why has God brought me here tonight to talk about this? Is there something that I'm to learn about all this, about my borderlines, about my borderlands, about the place where I say, I can go no further, I stop here. But in so doing, I will not reach over and understand the other. It's so painful. I would rather not be in the borderlands. I would rather go and play in miles away from the borderlands. Let others deal with it. Where are the painful areas in your family, among your friends, that everybody just, it's funny, skirts around? And that's what you do with borders, isn't it? You skirt around them. Let's just take a moment to think about that and then go into the groups and just talk in general. And we'll take a good 5 minutes for this just to help us encounter some of this. Okay. Is the real borderland when you feel helpless and hopeless, and the future only offers a fear and a barrenness and a not of thought freedom? Helmut, quite right in many cases. Monica, yes, I suppose that is the case. Deep down, that's the common theme. Helmut, I remember well when the Berlin Wall came down. And we over the years, put up quite an effort to rig up replacement walls. Monica, really, Helmut? How did you feel? Albert, well, I was shocked when I discovered the high number of walls of shame around the whole world, not just Germany. Helmut, my father and I spent the night glued to the telly and the radio. It was so unbelievable. We were full of hope, hoping for real change. Helmut, but we only rigged up new walls. Monica, and are the new walls as high, as strong as before? There's still so much greed following in the footsteps of high elation. Helmut, I think the new walls are even stronger in different places, not to be named. You cannot really put a pickaxe to them. Because the walls we have built around ourselves is the strongest and divides and must come down before we can see the other walls and do something about them. We so often don't want to see over our wall. Helmut, worst of all, we keep claiming there are no walls at all. What must not be, cannot be. What were you discussing? Where's my mic? Where's it gone? Somewhere?
And the chair behind you.
Is it behind me? Oh, it's yours, yeah. Great. How did your group go? What were you discussing, this one?
We discussed a few things, but one of them was, if we were bringing the walls down, what would the world actually look like? When there is so much injustice, what does justice look like when the gulf between, for example, rich and poor is so great?
Yeah.
And how can we share in a meaningful way where we don't simply add to misery, we replace one type of poverty with different types of poverty?
Any more? Got a group here? Wendy?
We talked a bit about sectarianism and barriers between cultural groups, like in Rwanda, between the when there was fighting the 1990s. So it was looking at cultural groups and how difficult it is, because you end up labelling like groups of people, and the way to actually start to break down the barriers is actually to talk to individuals and actually to maybe get to know individuals rather than just labelling people as a sort of group.
This group here?
We spoke about our garden walls. We put up walls around us to keep our neighbours out, and it encourages isolation and breaks down community involvement.
Interesting. It's when we don't know people we do that. Somebody told me recently they had lived with their neighbour for 30 years, but their neighbour sold their house and there was new neighbours coming in and they weren't sure what they were going to be like. So what did they do? They put up a big fence. Ready? Anything?
What did we have? We'll discuss class. We discussed class and universities and the fact that the walls were highlighted at this point in time are fees, and that was going to create a barrier between folk who could afford them and folk who could not. If you're Scottish and go to a Scottish university, we're going to be an island, because all the Scottish people who cannot afford to go to...
They're not going to go anywhere else.
They're not going to go. They're going to stay at home.
Yeah.
And we discussed walls that adults and schools create with children, religious, and then we thought about the Berlin Wall, which came down suddenly, and we realised that we talked about 9/11, and the reported that a Muslim group had actually issued a statement empathising with the folks who had been bereaved with that terrible disaster in America, and that was one small step maybe towards breaking down a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Not very much, but a small step. But then you need an axe to knock out a brick before you can take down
another wall. David, you get?
Yeah, we talked about sectarianism, as it's already been talked about, but we also talked about the barrier between adults and youths and the sort of prejudice that exists with them, the typical hoodie, about how a lot of the times youths are viewed upon as being troublesome and so on, and that creates a barrier. And sometimes with these prejudices, when prejudices come in, that can sometimes make that other person behave in that way, because they think no other way, and how they believe that, for example, the riots that happened down in England a few weeks ago, a lot of children or a lot of youths that were involved tried to justify the way they behaved like that. It was because nobody listens to them and nobody wants to talk to them, and that was the way they were trying to justify it, and how there was that boundary between the youths and adults because of that.
Mm. You all know today is the anniversary of 9/11, and we thought we would just reflect a little bit on the, and as we watch this next clip, to think of the barriers that we put up in order to keep ourselves safe, but are they the right kind of barriers? And people are asking big questions today in the whole philosophy of Jesus teaching, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and despitefully use you. And what would happen if we took a completely different view on so many things and did things a completely different way? It would be such a challenging and absolute turning everything upside down. But perhaps we can look at this clip. It's quite a moving clip of survivors and those who have lost loved ones, and particular one man talking about how he identified and stood with others who was with him, the loss of a son. and the great pain of that loss, and then seeking to bring hope out of all this. So let's just take a moment to look at that and see the parallels and see the parable, because in actual fact there is a parable here. If we're able to engage with it, we can understand something deeper. And as we leave here tonight, we can understand something more deeper than just simply newsreels telling us ideas about 9/11. But what is the parable that we've been taught through all this?
On 9/11, when this building fell down, everything changed.
And those buildings have to stand forever.
One thing struck me in that address and in the conversation is the father talking about the people in the tower moving to the right in order to let the men, the firemen, go to the place where they'd been to walk into hell to save some folks. Do you know there's a picture there of the gospel? There's a picture there of Christ, of Jesus. Because we've been talking about our hells here tonight. The insoluble boundaries, the borderlines, the places where no one wants to go, where discussions will not be taking place. But we need to. An example might be within the church just now, the whole thing that's pulling us apart, homosexuality. We can run away from this and say, it doesn't exist, but it does and it's there. And there's people who are pained on both sides of the argument. But we cannot ignore it and we cannot pretend that it's not there. And we cannot understand unless we listen to one another and hear the pain. That's just one issue. There's so many, many more issues around. And there's the pain of your own life, of forgiveness, of the relationships that are broken. And can they be mended? Can they be healed? Can they be fixed? And can a firefighter go into your hell and put the fire out? What I want to suggest is there was one firefighter called Jesus who went into our hell and put the fire out. But we've got to let him. And then the interesting thing was, he said, we need to have hope, don't we? We need to have hope in order that something new can happen, in order that we can build something new. We need to have hope and we need to build it so that it's lasting. And that's what this is all about tonight, to get us to think deeper about these issues. So let's go back to the borderlands again. And just listen to this lovely song, which she and the video which Ray has put together to describe the song and to get us to think about the God who goes to the borderlands to connect with us. Sounds as though we can never find answers to some of these issues. And yet, when we think and when we're taking and reflecting on a song like that, we find it's in eternity that we find the answers. And it's somehow if we can get over the borderland into that place where we see things from God's perspective that so much changes. And how can we ever get there? But except that we practice prayer. We become people of prayer, people who lose ourselves in prayer, in the lonely places, struggling and wrestling with God in the midst of it all, and knowing God close to us. That's what this is all about tonight. God has drawn you here tonight because he wants to take the burden, but he wants you to walk the way of the cross. He wants you to walk the way of the cross in prayer. To wrestle with these issues that we've all talked about tonight. Here is where I lose myself. It is as we die to self rise to a new life in Christ. I hope tonight maybe you'll be inspired. Have you given up in prayer? Have you not even started? Do you think God doesn't hear? Do you think God isn't interested in you and your struggle? Oh, yes, He is. And He's brought you here tonight to remind you again of the simplest of things. Prayer. Come to the place of prayer tonight and bring these burdens and these troubles into His presence. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to, can I ask you to gather round here, but I need space here because we want the camera to look in so our internet congregation can be part of it. So can I ask you to gather round this bit here, you know, from about here onwards, and we gather round here. Okay, can you do that? Leave a wee bit space, say from here onwards. We need a space here, that's fine. And what we're going to do is we're going to play some music and we're going to look at the words on the screen and we're going to see if we can make a way to take these stones and move them from where they are to the foot of a cross. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a cross-shaped space for us all to walk through and to pick up a stone and to put on the table. And if you put down two stones, just pick up two stones. Don't need to be the same. The idea is that we have no stones left when we all move and we move back into these same spaces again. So let's just take a moment to reflect and be quiet and look at the hymn that's been played, and we can sing along with it if we want. And then maybe if, Lorraine, you could help move that square, and Martha, could you move that square, and Malcolm, do that square, and Austin, do the other square. And the idea is to bring it out, take it up so as it makes like a cross. Can we just do that? That's great. I hope you'll continue in this journey this month with us in the borderlands, finding our Lord close to us, getting to know our Lord better, touching His heart and He touching us, and taking us to the eternity, into crossing the borderline into eternity. Perhaps the best exercise you might do is actually when this replay goes back up on the internet tomorrow, over the next few weeks, you can visit this service again yourself and watch it. And I'll try and get it put up on the Sanctuary First webpage. It will certainly be up on the Stand Online webpage under replays for this week. But the following week, we'll put it onto the Sanctuary First section too, so that people can follow this, because there's so much in this service tonight that you will not be able to engage with and you have not been able to engage with, but it's worth engaging and visiting again. And I would ask you to think about doing that and then follow the daily prayers and see where this leads us. I think it might take us to challenging places in understanding those who have different views from us, and helping us to still love and support one another. Let's continue and finish our service tonight by singing In Christ Alone. You may go back. Can I thank everyone for coming along this evening? Can I remind those who come regularly, in fact, everyone's welcome, we start a new series of home groups, which are going to be starting on Monday the 18th of September. And we're going to be looking at what it means to be part of a gospel community. So for 10 weeks, we're going to be exploring that idea. Sunday morning services and sermons are going to be based around this whole idea of walking the edge and going to the borderlands. And we're going to be thinking through some of that over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So morning services will be picking up on this theme as well. And then the house groups are going to be looking, or the home groups are going to be looking at what it means for us to be a gospel, living gospel community. There are 10 homes available, and maybe more if need be. But as you leave, there is, if you've not got a sheet, there is a sheet that you can take, and you can see where the home groups are, and if it's one, and that you can join and be part of if the time's right. There's a slip also there. We're asking people to say, I want to be part of a home group, fill it out, give us your email, text us, it'll be your text number, and if you've not got a home to be part of, we would invite you to someone's home. So if you're willing to get an invitation to come to a home group, then tonight's in your night, and it's not starting until the 18th of September, and there'll be groups in the mornings, afternoons, and evenings. So if you want to be part of that for a 10-week period, please, you'll be very welcome to join and be part of that. Next Sunday, believe it or not, I can hardly believe it myself, but it's my 30th anniversary here in Bowness, and I believe that the congregation, it's out of my hands, but I believe there's a lot of celebrations going on next Sunday, and if you want to be part of that, you'd be very welcome as well. 10:30 and 6:30 in the evening. I believe next Sunday evening is going to be a bit of a praise night, and I think there's the first Bogle band's going to be playing, and also Jimmy Scott and Ian Walker are going to be leading the praise as well. So next Sunday evening will be a good night, and tell your friends and come along and be part of it. Can we just join together with the grace? Can we just make a circle and just do the grace together? Just come round. And can we just say, our friends on the internet, thank you for your contribution tonight too. It was so valuable. We so appreciate the insight that we're able to have when we're together. And that goes also for the internet group. If you think there's mileage in being part of an internet study group, then I would love to get that set up for you. But I need to know that there would be an interest. I know at least one person has got back to me and said they would be part of it. So if there's more, we will get it and make it happen. So keep that in mind. But if you're there, you're hearing what I'm saying, let us know and we can make a home group for you as well. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.